Welcome to the podcast for Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn, written by Jonathan Harnon and read by me, John Harnon. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about this book and my other books at allabouttrumpet.com. There you'll also find free video lessons, a whole bunch of free PDFs with scales and lesson plans and lesson tracking and all kinds of other stuff. There are also some free MP3s related to this book. And there's also a store for many things trumpet-related, including more method books, recordings, all kinds of gear for playing. So go have a visit. There's lots of free stuff there, and we'll see you online. This podcast covers
Chapter 8, Tongue Tips for Trumpet. While thou livest, keep a good tongue in thy head. William Shakespeare, 1564-1660. This chapter covers why tongue. Basic tonguing, double tonguing, and triple tonguing. Some terms to know. Articulation is the use of the tongue in a wind instrument to separate notes in various ways. Legato is smooth and connected. Notes are smooth and connected. This is shown in written music with a line, a small horizontal line, above or below notes. Slur, no tonguing. Notes are connected with the airstream only. This is the smoothest of notes, the smoothest change from one note to another. On a wind instrument. Staccato is short and detached, shown by a dot above or below the note head. Double tonguing is using the T and the K to articulate music that is too fast for single tonguing. So, tucka-tucka-tucka-tucka-tum would be one example. Dorsal tonguing is a style of tonguing in which the middle of the tongue strikes the roof of the mouth. When you say goo-goo-ga-ga, you use that hard G sound, that's what you're doing. Triple tonguing is another use of the T and the K syllable to do a rhythmic figure called the triplet. If you listen to Scheherazade, there's some great triple tonguing parts in Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov. So the tongue plays an essential role in trumpet music. It allows you to separate notes cleanly and clearly. It allows you to play fast with clarity. It'll help you to play higher. And you can do some cool sound effects with it, like flutter tonguing, which we'll get to later. You'll learn all the details about this in this chapter, but be aware that some of these techniques, especially double and triple tonguing, are going to take a lot of practice to master, a lot of practice, a couple years minimum. The tongue is one of the strangest muscles in the body. It's only attached at one end. Unlike other muscles, like say your arm muscles or your leg muscles, they're all attached at two ends, usually to bones, cartilage. That's not the strangest thing about the tongue. It allows us to speak. It tastes. No other muscle does that, that's for sure. And you can even show dislike when you stick it out. But like any muscle, the tongue can be trained to be quicker and stronger and more limber, which is also kind of a weird concept, a workout program for your tongue. But that's what we're going to talk about. When musicians talk about note lengths and styles, the word articulation usually comes up. And like I said in the terms to know, articulation is a word for different types of tonguing. In a slow, sweet song, the articulation would be smooth and light with the notes connected, also known as legato. In a march, the articulation would be shorter, more forceful, and with the notes separated, or marcato. Really short notes are called staccato. In a jazz band or rock and roll horn section, you'd use, other kinds of articulations, like do-tonguing or doodle-tonguing. The cool thing is that no matter what style of music you do end up playing, or, we might play many different styles, which is great, the use of the tongue is crucial to get the kind of sound you need on trumpet. So some basic tonguing. The only hard and fast rule about tonguing is that when you do it, no matter what style you're using, don't let your jaw move at all. If your jaw moves, this is going to throw off your embouchure and your airstream, and it's going to cause more difficulties than you want. So keep your jaw really still. Not really still, just keep it still. In the beginning, it's a really good idea to practice the following exercises in front of a mirror and just watch yourself while you play so you can catch some of those things or have someone else watch you. Another thing you can do if you don't have a mirror or someone else to watch you You can put your hand on your jaw while you do this to make sure it's not moving up and down. So if you can say two, then you've got the essence of tonguing down already. You say ta, tu, ti, toe, you know, whatever. You say those a few times and feel where your tongue hits inside your mouth. The tip of your tongue should touch just behind the teeth, right where your gums and your teeth come together. And if you use the ta syllable, you know, for your buzz or while you play, just make sure your jaw doesn't drop, as it tends to do with that ah sound. Two is better. Use a mirror or, you know, put your hand on the jaw. So there are other ways to tongue besides just these syllables that start with T. If you try using a D or a do sound or a duh sound, feel where your tongue hits when you say those. Do, 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 do. It hits up a little further back on your soft palate, that flat part just behind your teeth. You can also try thu or tha or thi. And if you feel that, thu, 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 your tongue touches the bottom edge of your top teeth. And some people think this is a very, very clean, one of the cleanest ways to articulate. Some other options are ka, 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 ka. This is going to play a role in both double and triple tonguing a little later. So try that, you know, try that now while you're messing around with these. So try these, try other syllables, try anything that you can come up with. See if you can find something that works for you, that you like, that sounds interesting. But you definitely need to learn the two, 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 or thu, thu, thu ones, because those you'll use most of the time. Now, particularly in classical music, you want the cleanest, clearest articulations you can get. So this is why a lot of people choose the thu, thu, because it tends to give you a very clear articulation. Now, you don't want to stick your tongue, you know, through your lips. You're just barely touching the tongue on the underside of your teeth if you choose this. You know, you're not, you know, like giving someone a raspberry and sticking your tongue out. You're just barely touching your tongue on the underside of your teeth when you say thu, 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 thu. You know, if you're at all concerned with this, definitely talk to a teacher. If you're playing jazz, you know, sometimes the soft articulations are better, like a da or a do. You know, it depends on what the music calls for. So, you know, try them all. You know, use the one that you like best for whatever situation you're in. It's a good idea to be able to do any kind of tonguing. So just learn them all, and, you know, you'll have that many more tools you can rely on. And you can practice tonguing wherever you have your mouth, right? So, you know, you can use your buzz, either with or without the mouthpiece, and add the tonguing. You know, you might get some strange looks, but, you know, you can do it in the car or whatever. Just practice your tonguing. And if you don't, again, if you don't have a mirror, put a couple fingers on your chin when you're doing this so that you you can be sure that your jaw is not moving. So a word about the airstream and the tongue. Imagine you're holding a garden hose, and it's turned on full blast. The water streams out the end of the hose. It's, you know, solid arc across the grass. You quickly chop your hand back and forth through the stream of water, and then you look at the stream of water as it arcs out over the grass. The stream of water is chopped into small chunks, and this is even though that the water stream, the flow of water, was constant. So do you get the analogy? Your airstream is the water, and your tongue is the hand breaking the stream into small chunks. So it's very important to keep that airstream moving the whole time. Just keep that air flowing while you're tonguing. The airstream is what gives your sound power and strength and gives you range and all these other things. And it also allows you to change cleanly from one note to the next. So without a steady, strong airstream, your sound will not be full and present, and it'll be much more difficult to play with consistency. So that airstream is really important. It's also a fairly common mistake to spit out these notes when you're learning to know, like t-t-t-t-t, like that. And you can hear that I'm both starting the sound with my tongue and ending it with my tongue. You don't want that. Ta-ta, you notice the end of that note, tu-tu-tu, is open. Not t-t-t-t, don't want that. So keep the air flowing and let the air pressure blast the tongue away after, you know, tongues. It's almost like the tongue is denting the airstream, not really chopping all the way through it. And if you remember about the airstream, see the Avoiding Bad Breath chapter. Starts on page 59. So the tongue is a muscle, and muscles need to be warmed up before they're worked, right? So do this with some slow tonguing on the mouthpiece, some low, slow notes on the horn. Not necessarily changing pitches, just stay on one pitch, you know, just sort of warm your tongue up. And up next are some sound examples to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Kind of boring, so, you know. feel free to play along or just skip past them. They're certainly not music. It's just a little sort of thing to do for a warm-up. So just remember, and this is the whole reason that they're repetitive, is so that you can focus on keeping the air moving and you're thinking about your tongue. You know, it's just sound at this point. It's not music. So it's a tool. Just play these boring things, but think about your tongue and think about your air. Really important. With the third and the fourth exercises, gradually speed it up until your tongue gives out. You know, it's a muscle. Like I said, it's going to get tired. So if you work it to the point of exhaustion, which is kind of a weird concept, again, you know, you'll be stronger and quicker the next day. You know, you do this over a couple weeks and you'll be looking good. So, you know, as you practice, your tongue speed will gradually increase, and you can keep track of this with the metronome. You know, I'm not lying. It is actually will get faster and stronger. You can do it for longer. If you keep track of the time and the speed at which you're able to tongue on the metronome, you'll notice steady improvement if you just work at it. Most things are like that. So below the buzz tonguing and warm-up exercises are some tonguing warm-up suggestions for the horn, too, and these are also in the sound clips. So this is sound clip 8.1. So here's a weird concept for you, finger-tongue coordination. It's important that your fingers and your tongue start notes together. This is pretty easy when playing music like you've had so far, just repetitive, you know, you're not really changing pitches very quickly, and you're just doing the same rhythm the whole time, and lots of rest in between usually, so you can get ready with your tongue and your fingers. As notes get closer together and flow by more quickly, it'll become important to finger and tongue them at the same time so that they're clean and clear, right? So, you know, try it right now since your tongue is already warmed up and your horn is, or I'm assuming. Just pick two or three notes, and you can do this not necessarily with the horn. You could do it with your buzz, with your mouthpiece. Pick two or three notes that are close together in pitch, preferably stepwise. That's less work for you. So you can focus on the tongue and the air. So pick two or three notes with different fingerings and tongue back and forth between them. You know, if you're just starting out on this, try two. If you're, you know, think you've got a handle on it, do three or four or five or whatever, you know. See how many you can do. So, and then it's important to get the pattern down so that you can begin to speed up. So if you just do two, that would be pretty easy to get it going quickly, fairly soon. You know, five would be more difficult. But, of course, you understand that. So a little bit of music theory in some of these. We've got whole notes in the first one. It goes from whole notes to half notes to quarters to eighths. And if you remember, whole notes get four beats each. You know, you tongue the first part of the note, then hold the sound out for four beats, and don't stop the air between the notes. So it's going to be to like that, or whatever the pitch is. Half notes are two beats each. Two, like that. Quarter notes are one beat each. Two. Eighth notes are two per beat. Two. Okay. So let's talk about the tongue's role in playing high and low. Be aware of your tongue for a few moments. Say ah, and feel where your tongue is in your mouth. Now say e, and feel what happens with your tongue to produce this sound, and how it's different from the ah. Right? The back of your tongue is down during the ah, and it raises up towards the roof of your mouth for the e, right? So this is the same motion that you use with the tongue when you play. You're not actually saying ah or e. The tongue is just moving to these positions. One thing you have to be careful of when you use these syllables, especially the ah, is it's very easy and natural and normal for your jaw to drop for the ah when you say ah, right? This is why doctors use it to get you to open your mouth. But you don't want that for playing the trumpet. Because, again, moving the jaw is going to disrupt your embouchure and the airflow, and it's generally going to make things more difficult for you. So you want your jaw still while you do the following exercises. And you notice that I'm repeating this whole keep your jaw still thing, right? You'd be surprised how often I say this, and, you know, people are still moving their jaws. So keep it still, put a hand on it, look in a mirror. So keep your mouth closed with your teeth slightly apart as though you were going to play trumpet. Keep your jaw relaxed, but again, don't move it. Say ah and then e again. You're not going to actually say it. You're just going to pretend you're saying it and feel what your tongue is doing. Ah, e. Go back and forth between the two really slowly, like you can actually say it if it helps you. You want to eventually move towards just making that tongue motion. So do it a few times until you've got a good feel for it, and then do it really quickly so your tongue snaps back and forth. This is, in fact, one of the techniques for lip trill, which you might learn much, much later in the book. So if you, again, do this in a mirror or with a jaw in your hand or have your teacher or somebody else watch you, just make sure your jaw doesn't move. So now you can add the buzz. Pick a low note and use the ah shape with your tongue. Make the pitch go gradually higher, and as you do so, change from the ah to the e. So, you know, do this several times. And then you can try it with the abrupt switch from ah to e, and just be sure your jaw doesn't move, you know, like before. It's going to be a little difficult to coordinate this at first, but, you know, just keep at it. You'll need this skill for sure, so just keep practicing until you got it. If you do it in the car or, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, add the mouthpiece too. So you can check this out, sound clip 8.3, which is next. So tongue placement, low, middle, and high. Some studies have shown that tongue placement depends on where in the trumpet range you're playing. When you're playing low, the tongue strikes between the teeth, like I was saying, the thu. And in some cases, even all the way up to the lips, like I was saying before. Now, I was saying that's a bad thing. Apparently, in some cases, it's not a bad thing, but use your judgment. If it gets the sound you like, check with a teacher to make sure. As you go higher, the tongue moves further back behind the teeth. And for really high playing, the tongue moves back even further, and often striking the soft palate behind, the upper teeth. For altissimo playing, very, very high, many players say they use dorsal tonguing, almost a K sound, a G, hard G sound. And that's where the middle of the tongue strikes the roof of your mouth. If you say go, or goat. So check it out with your own tongue and see what placement works the best for you. Generally the thu or the tu are the best ones. So the tongue use in lip slur. A lip slur is moving from one note to another without tonguing, right? Smoothly, just with the air alone, changing notes. That's pretty easy. And this is shown by a curved line between notes, connecting the notes if you're using written music. Trumpet players have an added challenge. All brass players do, in fact. When the slur between two notes is with the same fingering or position on a trombone, like between the open notes G and C, those are both open, right? A slur between the two notes, which share the same fingering, is called a lip slur. So this G to C is a lip slur, because you're changing the notes with your lips, not with your fingers. And because they're a little tricky, and because they're really important, lip slurs get their own chapter, so we're going to get to that next, the next chapter. So the oral cavity's role in your tone quality. If all the above wasn't enough, the tongue also affects the size of the oral cavity, and this affects your tone quality. If your tongue is up high in your mouth, like you have a really small oral cavity on the inside of your mouth, your tone is going to be less rich and warm than it could be. With your tongue down low, ah, and open, and your throat open with a large oral cavity, your tone is going to be richer and more resonant. So I said resonant, right? Not resident. Resonant. So think of the difference between a little acoustic guitar, maybe a triple-aught, the small resonating chamber, and then a big dreadnought-sized acoustic guitar, the big fat ones. The bigger guitar is going to have a larger, more resonant, and more pleasing tone. So if you remember the breathing tube from the chapter on breathing, that's back on page 62, How to Avoid Bad Breath. When you use the breathing tube, it forces your tongue down and makes your throat open up and gives you the largest oral cavity that you can have. If you play with the inside of your mouth very open like this, your tone will be more resonant and pleasing. The trouble is that when you use a very open oral cavity like this, it becomes more difficult to play in the upper range, and sometimes even just above the G. So you have to compromise. You have to keep your oral cavity as large as you can without sacrificing your range. So let's move on to double and triple tonguing. At times, you may have to play a passage that is very fast, too fast to tongue in the usual manner, also called single tonguing. In such cases, you want to use double or even triple tonguing. This is an advanced skill that's not difficult at all to understand, but it takes a while before it becomes natural and easy. So just stick with it, do a little every day, and you'll get it. And again, I said earlier, you know, year, couple years, depends on how much you practice. So your tongue is a muscle, a strange one, and it's going to tire easily at first, if you're not used to doing this. It's also going to seem slow and stubborn, too. But the more you train it, the quicker and stronger it's going to get. So many of the exercises you can do anywhere, just like most of them up to now. You don't need your trumpet. You can even do them silently so people won't give you weird looks. So with these techniques, you're using both the front part of your tongue, the ta, tu, ti, tha, thu, thi, or whatever you're using, and the back part of your tongue, the ka, ku, ki. So if you take a minute and say ka, 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 and feel where your tongue strikes, that's what we're talking about. So again, we've got the jaw movement problem. And this might even be more of a problem here than with the tu sound. So as before, you know, you don't want your jaw to move for all the same reasons. So keeping your jaw still is a little more difficult with the ka, and the ta ka especially. So just be aware of your jaw is doing. Look in a mirror. Keep your hand on the jaw. So do this really slowly. Combine the two syllables you learned above and say ti ki ti ki ti ki and tu ku tu ku tu ku tu. So go slowly. Keep your hand on your jaw, and just keep the length of each syllable even. So there are some exercises below. And that'll be sound clip 8.4. And use a metronome. With these exercises below, just find a tempo at which you can say the syllables easily. And on the third exercise, gradually you're going to speed up a few metronome clicks each time you go through it. See how fast you can go. You know, write it down. See if you can best your time. Best your time both speed-wise and also length, how long you can do it.
Half notes using the K syllable.
There's an exercise tracking form in the codicils for this book, which you can find at allabouttrumpet.com, the free stuff. So practice double tonguing all week, whether you whenever you think of it, off and on during your actual practice session, and when you're away from the instrument. So then check in with the metronome at the week's end and see how much you've got, see if you've improved. Maybe you haven't. Sometimes you go backwards some weeks. But if you just keep at it, you'll eventually getting better. So record your speed in that exercise tracker and compare it to previous weeks, and you'll just continue to see how you're getting faster and longer. So next you're going to do double tonguing with the buzz and the mouthpiece. And these exercises have the same rhythm as above. The syllables alternate. Strive for the two and the coo to sound exactly the same. This is the really challenging part about double tonguing. You're not going to get it first. So just try to make that k, that K sound really explosive so that it matches the T. And so this is sound example 8.5.
Double tonguing exercises using the two and the coo syllable. Quarter notes.
When you add the horn to your double tongue, you're going to be able to hear very clearly the difference between using the tip of the tongue, the tu-tu or the thu-thu, and the back of the tongue, the ku-ku-ku. You'll definitely hear a difference. I'm sure you can hear a difference in these examples, even though it's been 3 or 4 years since I've put them up there. But strive to make the two sound exactly the same or as close as you can by making the ku syllables hard and explosive as necessary, like I said before. So keep the air moving and keep your jaw still. So triple tonguing. There isn't much difference between double and triple tonguing technique. You're still using the ta and the ka, or tu, ku, ti, ki. The rhythm of the notes will be different, usually triplets, go figure. And depending on what type of triple tonguing you choose, the order might be slightly different too. So what am I talking about? So let me explain and you'll understand. So because you're dealing with three notes, you have two options for triple tonguing. The first is to use the double tonguing pattern you already learned, but to group it in threes. So again, remember you're alternating the T sound and the K sound every time. So ta-ka-ta-ka-ta-ka, 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 ta-ka-ta-ka-ta-ka. So each group of three alternates between starting with the K or starting with the T. This doing it this way is a little bit of a challenge. Maybe it just seems that way to me because this isn't the way that I actually do it. I do it the way I'm going to tell you about next. But if that makes more sense to you, certainly you can do it that way. A lot of people do. So just, whichever one seems easiest at first, go with that. Try to do both. I mean, I can do the other one sort of fast, but nowhere near as fast as the one I actually practice. So this other way is to use the pattern ta-ka-ta-ta-ka-ta-ta-ka-ta. Okay, so this is the one that I use. Other people choose tu-tu-ku, 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 tu-tu-ku. I don't use that one either, but some people do. So really, whatever gets it out there as cleanly and clearly as possible. So both of those last two, the tu-ku-tu-ku-tu-ku-tu-ku and the tu-tu-ku, tu-tu-ku, so one starts T-K-T. All of them are TKT, and the other is TTK. Does that make sense? So try them and see which, how those three different versions feel, and then focus on one until you really get it solid. You can pick up another one, and why not all three, So here are some examples. This is sound clip 8.5B.
Triple tonguing exercises using the two, coo, two, two, coo, two syllables. I'm going to skip ahead to the quarter notes and then the triplets. Now triplets.
and C.
Triple tongue exercising with the horn, I will be using the two coo two two coo two syllables. Triplets. Second one. And now changing notes, quarter notes.
About multiple tonguing while changing notes. Once you practice multiple tonguing on one note, tuku tu tuku tu tuku tu tu, now we're going to practice multiple tonguing while changing notes. And this is a little more challenging, but if you've got the basics down, it's not that hard to make the leap. Just make sure you start slowly. So the technique is identical, and the challenge lies in coordinating the tongue and the fingers, just like you were working on earlier. And as with any coordination challenge, you have to start very slowly to train the muscles to perform the movement correctly. So trying to double or triple tongue too fast is really a common mistake. Start slowly. Get it perfect at a slow tempo. Just, you know, use your metronome to stay with it. And then gradually speed it up. It's that simple. You just have to do it. Not many people have the patience to do this the right way. So that's all it takes. Time and quality practice. But as with any skill you're trying to learn, you know, if you can double up the things you're practicing, you're going to get double the work in half the time, right? So what does this mean? Well, in the case of double and triple tonguing, you can use scales while practicing the tonguing. That way you get in scale practice and tonguing practice. Okay, so that should hopefully make sense. So below in sound clip 8.6 are just a few examples to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. So use your imagination and creativity and method books to double up your practice in this way. Some sources for further study. If you don't have an Arbenz Complete Method for Trumpet, you should go get one right now. You can find them at allabouttrumpet.com. You can find them in most music stores. It has exercises for most techniques on trumpet, including many, many, many double and triple tonguing exercises. So check those out. Here are some other titles. One is 240 Double and Triple Tonguing Exercises, by Salvo, published by Belwin. Another is called Articulation Studies by Chris Gecker, which is Collin Publications. And another is Arbenz Complete Conservatory Method, which I just mentioned, by J.B. Arben. You can find all three of these at allabouttrumpet.com. So it's important to listen to great examples of multiple tonguing, too. There's some great recordings out there for double and triple tonguing. One good example is Wynton Marsalis' album Carnival. He does Flight of the Bumblebee. There are also great examples in Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov, which I mentioned, Tchaikovsky's Symphony 4, the third movement of Hummel's Concerto in E-flat. Rafael Mendez does a really awesome version of Flight of the Bumblebee, and I've got that on my videos at my YouTube video site. I think it's YouTube/JHarnum. But if you just search Flight of the Bumblebee and Rafael Mendez, you'll find it. It's really pretty awesome. So lots of examples out there. Make sure you listen to great examples so you can recreate them. Up next, since we've covered the tongue in this chapter, the next chapter we're going to cover special instances when the tongue is not used. And I was talking about that earlier, about lip slurs. When you don't use the tongue between notes, this is called a slur, right? But when you slur between two notes that have the same fingering, this is a special type of slur called the lip slur. And we're going to get to all the details about this in the next chapter. So stay tuned.
Thanks for listening. Remember that you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or on my blog. And again, you can reach those at allabouttrumpet.com. This work is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0. Have fun. Good luck with your practice.